Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts, delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
We're back talking about one of my favourite subjects, dark energy. It's invisible, it's about two-thirds of our universe, and it's pushing the cosmos apart at an ever-accelerating pace. Trinity College Dublin is leading an international team on a groundbreaking project to track exploding stars and transient cosmic events in real time, all in the quest to unlock dark energy's secrets. Professor Kate McGuire is professor in physics at Trinity College Dublin. She joins me now. Let's start off with, so what is dark energy as far as we know?
Okay, so dark energy is something that was discovered from measurements of exploding stars. We call them supernovae. And when we look in the universe appears to be expanding faster. It's accelerating. The rate of expansion much faster than was originally expected. And so to make this accelerating expansion rate of the universe, there has to be something acting against gravity. So gravity would make it collapse in, and this makes it expand out.
Right.
Dark energy is kind of a catch-all term for the physics that we don't yet know what it is.
Yeah. So listeners to this program will be so bored of me saying this over and over again, but I don't think dark energy is real. And I know that sounds mad, but then actually someone said this recently. They said, look, we knew about black holes by seeing their movement before we realized what they were. But dark energy to me seems like a mathematical problem, like that we're looking at the maths and going, something has to be there, so let's call it dark energy. So maybe help me with that.
Yeah, so I think it's a little bit more direct than that. So I think like a real world analogy for it would be the wind. You know the wind exists, not because you can see it, but because you can see the trees move, or you can see yourself getting blown off your bicycle. It's not something you can see.
Right.
And it's the same thing with dark energy. When we go out and measure the supernovae in the distant universe, they look like they're fainter than they should be.
Mm.
And that's just because there's more space. So the universe has accelerated.
Okay.
And so the measurements we make tell us that it does exist. We do infer its presence.
Right. So so when we look at it, are there other things that are on the table that might explain the movement of the supernovae?
Dark energy has... So we don't understand what it is. That's what a lot of the new experiments are trying to figure out. The most... popular one is that it's some kind of a cosmological constant. So Einstein originally came up with this term, and it essentially means that space itself has some kind of energy associated with it.
Right.
That's what's acting against gravity. But there are other theories that could be some kind of more exotic thing that changes with time. There are also like a lot of theories that suggest it could be that we don't understand gravity properly and that there are modified theories of gravity. I'd say that's probably the least well accepted in the astrophysical community.
Yeah, I know. I've had conversations with so many researchers about it. And it's one of those things that just... I know people say, look, this is why I just can't get my head around it. Talk to me about your work and the supernovae and how your work is going to help us figure out what this is. Because if we do figure out dark energy and we say, this is what it is, we measure it, or we find a way of actually not inferring it, but seeing it in inverted commas, that would be absolutely groundbreaking. It would solve so many of our problems, right?
Yeah, so we're never going to actually see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but so we know it exists. We can infer its presence. The key thing is that, we want to understand what it actually is.
Right.
And so my work is that I study exploding stars. So I study how stars explode throughout the universe. And to do these kind of measurements of what we call distance indicators that we use to measure dark energy, we use a particular type called a white dwarf. It's a small, dense star that explodes in a binary system, and then we can measure how bright it is. And so there's new telescopes that are coming online that are going to give us really big samples of these supernovae, and they're really going to help us to try and constrain what dark energy is. So it just really brings, it gives us like much better precision.
And do you have specific candidates that you're looking at? Or are there, you know, specific stars that are of more interest than others? Or how do you go about choosing what you're looking at? Because obviously the sky is pretty big.
Yeah, so we don't know when a star is going to explode. What we do is we just scan the sky and look for things that change. So we look for, if we scan it and then we see something that's brightened a lot, so it's gotten much, much brighter over, say, the course of a night, then we say, ah, that's a new exploding star. And then we would follow that observation and take more observations that star.
So talk to me about how you go about doing this, because this is, you know, one of those telescopes that's out in the middle of nowhere in a desert in Chile, right? Tell me about what it is, what it's doing, and how you manage to do you have to get time on it? Or because some of these machines are absolutely massive, right? You have to borrow time from various places to actually get to do your work.
Yeah, so the new telescope that I'm really excited about and had first light in the last few days is Foremost. So it's a new telescope at the Paranal Observatory from the European Southern Observatory, very high up in the desert in Chile. And so it's a big consortium of different groups that are going to take observations at the same time. And so Trinity is involved in this survey. And with that, we're going to find loads more supernovae.
And how does that work? Do you basically all come together and say, we're going to point the telescope at this particular area, like turn it on for a certain amount of time? Or how does it work?
Pretty much, actually. So it does a survey of the sky. So it looks at certain fields. It's about so the field of view, what we call how much area that it can cover in one pointing and one look at the sky, is about 5 full moons across.
Right.
And so what's really interesting about Foremost is that it can it's a spectrograph. And so it splits the light that we get up. Instead of just taking an image like you take with your phone, it can actually split it up into different wavelengths or different colours.
Amazing.
And this gives us way more information about the different chemicals that are present and how energetic and how fast things are moving within the supernovae.
And so, with this particular telescope, would it have covered the entire sky many times, or have we not even been able to do that yet because of how big the sky is in comparison?
So there are certain types of telescopes, which this one isn't, that do the searches. They take images and they search for the new supernovae. So doing that thing of checking to see if something has brightened. And what Foremost will do is it won't find new objects. We'll take observations of things that we already know are supernovae that we're interested in.
So you basically point it at an area of the sky and then do a Where is Waldo sort of...
Yeah, essentially. Okay. We think there'll be about 10 to 20 supernovae in each part of the sky that it visits in one go.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you very briefly about the news that Ireland has officially joined CERN as a member state as well, because obviously this, you know, CERN being, you know, this enormous physics experiment and that is growing hugely over the next couple of years if it gets all the funding it wants. Why is it important for Ireland to join CERN, do you think?
Oh, I think it's just important to be involved in these very large surveys and very large consortia. So CERN is a great example of that. There's been Irish physicists involved for decades and engineers involved for decades, but this really gives us further opportunities to get like really involved in designing of instruments or sending people there. So it just really opens up a lot of doors. So I think it's great when the government decides to invest in these kind of things.
And would Ireland benefit from that? Is it being part of CERN, apart from obviously giving money, what does Ireland get out of it? Or should we not be thinking of it in that way?
So I think, there's probably two things. You can think of it like it's brilliant that researchers can go there and get training, and it's all more connected now that they have membership. But also it allows Irish companies to tender for different parts of, say, upgrades to the systems and things like that.
Right, okay. So if a manufacturing company, if they're looking for a specific machine tool part or something that an Irish company can actually apply to do that tender, and they couldn't do that before.
So it depends a little bit, but it's a lot smoother a process, and the priority is given now.
Okay. And I guess finally, you know, just coming back to dark energy, what is it that we hope to get to close the door and close the loop on dark energy? You know, we for example, with Higgs boson, we went and theorized that there must be some sort of thing that gives particles mass. And then it was discovered, measured, and they said, look, we found that. with dark energy, for it's been with us for as a concept, dark matter as well. At what point do we feel like we have an understanding of what that is, and how do we go about getting into that direction?
Yeah, so I think the next 10 years are going to be really crucial. So there's a new telescope, the Rubin Observatory, and that's going to take get hundreds of thousands of supernovae and other measurements of dark energy. And so what they're going to be able to do is really get measurements that can tell us between those different ways. So the modified gravity, or is it a vacuum energy? And so it can be able to determine between those. So I think it's going to be a really exciting decade, and I think we will get much closer to understanding it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Really interesting. Professor Kate McGuire, Professor of Astrophysics in Trinity College Dublin. Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McCrae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.